from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Welcome back in, y'all, to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula's in a good mood. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. I am in a good mood, especially for a Monday, but
I am too.
We have been absolutely spoiled with the weather that we've had around here. Yesterday, I was sitting at Lumen Field thinking, how could we get so lucky? And I was saying the same thing at Husky Stadium on Saturday night. How could we get so lucky?
Is this the time that I should admit to you that yesterday I complained?
No, you didn't. Please don't.
Well, let me give you first world problems,
yeah.
Okay?
Because you were wearing jeans?
No, I wasn't that. I saw the weather, and I saw, like, I had saw it earlier in the week, and I saw that it was going to be 73. So what I did was is I pulled out, oh, okay, I can wear this Seahawk, like, it's a short sleeve hoodie. It can be a little bit hot, but I said, by that time, it won't be at the highest. Cool. Well, it was a little hotter than that yesterday, and down on the field is usually like 10 degrees hotter than it is not down on the field. And I was sweating yesterday when I had to go do my hit on the field, and I kept having to wipe myself off because I don't want the camera to be on me when your boy's sweating. So I was complaining.
Well, you are going to be complaining in a few months for a whole different reason. So enjoy it while you can. It is so beautiful, and we are so fortunate for sure.
All right. Agree to disagree.
Yep.
Brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Is an apology and an explanation enough to keep a job when someone sends out a racist email? About 2 weeks ago, Cairo 7 TV reported an exclusive story about a city council member from Sumner who also works for the Secretary of State who allegedly sent out a racist meme from his state email address. Patrick Reed sent out this email with an image with this following text about people in court. Quote, if they're in court, they're guilty. Especially if they're black or Mexican. That meme was sent in response to someone who is excited about being excused from jury duty. Well, Mr. Reed has now apologized publicly on his Facebook page, writing in part, quote, on August 9th, I replied to an email at work and selected the wrong meme from search results. In a rush, I copied and pasted an image without verifying what I was sending. The next day, after a meeting with HR, I became aware of my horribly offensive mistake. In no way do I agree with the sentiment of that meme. I am deeply sorry for my mistake. My first reaction was to reach out to those that received the email to apologize, but by the time, it was part of a confidential HR investigation not to be discussed. I hope this can be accepted for being the horrible mistake that it was. Patrick Reed has served as the public government affairs manager for the Secretary of State's office since 2017, and he's been a member of the City Council in Sumner since 2015. G, keep his job.
Fire him. Fire Patrick Reed for this. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, he is he's a council member in Sumner, so he can't really just necessarily get fired for there unless it's a recall. But in the case of this dude is a public government affairs manager for the Secretary of State's office here in the state of Washington. And he used his company email to send this awful email. And then the apology alone is still suspect and weird. It says, in a rush, I copied and pasted an image without verifying. Let me get this straight. It says, if they're in court, they're guilty, especially if they're black or Mexican. What were you in a rush to do that you did not see that as being inappropriate to send?
On your state office email.
And the last thing, I could only imagine what your text messages look like, but that's another topic. Let me simplify by saying this, Ursula. There's levels to this. Usually there's the denial, like, I ain't had nothing to do with that. There's that level. Then there's the, well, wait, no, you guys misunderstood what I was trying to say. Then there's that level. Then there's a level of some folks go to rehab because, oh, that's going to fix things. And that's kind of like, oh, feel sorry for me. I didn't mean to do it. And then there's the last level. This level right here is your people, lawyers are telling you, look, you're guilty. And the only way around this is if you just flat out apologize. And then maybe some other people out there be like, yeah, you know what? I've been in a rush myself and sent some racist stuff. It's kind of normal, right? In this case, Ursula, he needs to lose his job.
Well, he's just embarrassed the office. It has become a huge thing now. I saw the headlines over the weekend. I've seen it spread. And it's an embarrassment to the Secretary of State's office. So I think it would be really hard for him to keep his job. Not that I'm all about cancel culture, but in this case, it was egregious. It was on state email. The reason it came to light is because someone on the receiving end complained, and it immediately became part of an investigation. So, yes, he offended a lot of people, and I'm sorry. I believe in apologies and good apologies, and I think sometimes apologies are enough if you are sincere and you're showing that you're willing to change. But I ain't buying the story. Like I accidentally, in my rush, picked the wrong thing, and it just happened to be that one, and it just seemed so, well-timed with what the response was, to this. I just don't buy it.
From looking at the comments on his Facebook page, there are a lot of people in his community who say, I completely believe you that this was a mistake. I know you. I know your heart. I know you're a good person. This does not seem like something that you would do. In circumstances like this, you kind of only need a plausible, quasi-plausible excuse, right? Or else a government agency can face the potential of being themselves sued for improper firing. Because, who hasn't made a small mistake? Who hasn't had a typo in their email? But here's where it falls apart, because I'm trying to figure out what you have to search for on Google
exactly
in order for that meme to come up. So I'm typing some stuff in the search box here. Let's see. People in court are guilty meme. If they're in court, they're guilty meme. And let's see what comes up on. Oh, you know what comes up? The only way this shows up on Google that I see is a Yahoo link to the Cairo 7 TV news story with the image of this meme in it. So I don't know the search engine that you have to use in order to find the racist memes. Maybe there's like an alternate search engine that's around that I'm not aware
right
of. But wherever you pulled this from, it does not seem that it could have been unintentional.
Agree. Yeah.
Chef.
So I guess we're three for three.
I just want to say, I don't know. That was so well done. The fact that you took the time
to Google
and search it, and you're telling me the only thing it came back to was the Cairo 7 news story. Wow.
All right, let's move on. Oh, all right. Does absence make the heart grow fonder? Let me read you this headline here. I love you, but I don't want to see you for the next 6 weeks. The Guardian makes the case for so-called marriage sabbaticals. Have either of you ever heard of this concept before? Marriage
no.
sabbaticals. Okay.
No. So, I've heard of job sabbaticals, but yeah, not marriage sabbaticals.
Full disclosure, I'm sitting in bed with my wife over the weekend, and I show her this story, and I say, hey, check out this headline, marriage sabbaticals. What do you think of this idea? My wife reads the headline and gives me this look of horror because she assumes that perhaps I'm making the case for opening the relationship for 6 weeks. So to be very clear, Gabby and everyone listening, it's not a divorce or a trial separation or a chance for a little fling on the side. This is just an opportunity for husbands and wives to take a little time away from each other to discover themselves and, of course, appreciate their significant other even more when they return. Gee.
White man, bruh. Time out. You know you should start off with the expert first. Don't start
Ursula.
With me.
But why are you? Why do you have to call it a marriage sabbatical? Why don't you just say I'm going on a vacation? Can I go on a trip?
A vacation is like a week. 2 weeks, right? A little getaway with the friends is a couple days, a week at most, maybe two. But 6 weeks, that's an extended period of time. That does feel more like a sabbatical.
Okay. A few minutes ago, we talked about how half the marriages in this country end up in divorce. If it would be beneficial to your relationship to take a break, because sometimes you can get through phases of your marriage and throughout life where things are happening and maybe you are starting to get on each other's nerves, maybe a little time away from each other to reflect and maybe to work on personal growth could be very healthy. I would totally be okay with that.
I should have went first. You absolutely took everything that I had. Exactly. Obviously, what we're doing in this country is not really doing too well, right? It's not, especially we're not doing a good enough job of being an example to the younger generation, the Gen Zs, which is why a lot of Gen Zs are like, screw that. I ain't getting married until I'm in my 30s. Back in the days, you know, your grandma and them was getting married
at all.
17, 18 years old. Now the youngsters, your kids' friends, your kids' friends, my kids' friends, I ain't getting married. What's happening right now? We're not doing a good job. So if this were to help with relationships, I'm all for it. And so for anybody that wants to sit there and judge and say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, then good for you that your marriage is working.
Exactly. But here's the other thing.
What you got?
You need to make sure that the rules are very clear about what the sabbatical entails.
Stop with the rules.
You need to have both of you in full agreement of what it entails and the goal. What is your goal at the end of it?
You know what a lot of people are, a sweeping statement, not a lot, but more and more people, we're finding out that there, maybe somebody's listening right now, some married couples are starting to still live separate.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Older married couples.
Yeah, right. They're like, no, I want to stay in my house. And the other person's like, well, I want to stay in my house. Cool, let's do it. We're getting married and everything, and we spend our time together. And so that's starting to happen. I think tradition, which Ursula doesn't like that, this whole tradition thing, it's kind of for the birds anyway.
I hate this. I don't know. Like the whole concept that you need to spend 6 weeks without your partner in order to appreciate them. That seems pretty wild to me. I mean, there's this attitude in this country, like, oh, the old ball and chain, right? That somehow you're being tied to this person and it's to your disadvantage. I hate that. And plus, who has 6 weeks of vacation time? Where are you going to go? Who has the money to do 6 weeks of separate vacation? Like, oh, I'm going to Greece, honey. Enjoy your time in Aruba. Maybe it's just because I could admit that, like, I like my partner. I think most people like their partners. The idea of spending 6 weeks apart.
I love my partner, no doubt. But I find myself, like, when I go on a span of when I got to work a lot. And recently I have been working a whole lot. Well, last night I had a little opportunity to spend time with my wife. You do appreciate them more when you've been kind of away from them. And I think that a 6 week deal, not to say that you don't love your spouse, but you go away and, of course, under Ursula's rules, and you do what you're supposed to do and you come back, it might make things great.
Yeah.
This is like a life hack that apparently you can just take 6 weeks off and then you either get so jealous or you miss the person so much. It makes you appreciate your relationship more. Maybe it's a genius life hack. I don't know. But it sounds like a terrible idea to me.
Again, it's a terrible idea for you. So that's good news. You don't have to try it. So it's all good.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just going to silently judge you. Or actually not so silently.
Well, Ursula was down with it. Ursula gets her a little time away. You know what I mean?
This must be for retired couples only.
No, normal. Like
no
weekend,
kids.
Weekend. Like with your friends.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you do a girls' weekend or someone said, if your spouse is into hunting, you get a sabbatical every year. I mean, yeah, every couple has their way of getting their me time in. And I think just because you're a couple should not mean that you lose your individuality.
Absolutely. Because I tell you what you don't want. If your significant other or spouse does not have an outlet, does not have any other friends to go and hang out with, and you are the only person that you're the husband, you're the friend, you're the everything, ooh, that's hard.
It is.
You know what I mean? But I want to just say something real quick on the topic of that whole email and the Patrick Reed from down there. I got to say, the text line, all everybody. And now we know we got some, everybody's different, political side of things and how you feel about these topics. Everybody texted in and said this guy's got to lose his job.
I haven't seen a whole lot of supporters. Although, like Chef said, he does have people who know him who are believing the story. I think just on the face of it, it's hard to believe that excuse.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hey, coming up next. No. I was going to say something, but I caught myself. Hey, coming up at 11:30, the school Kent Ridge down there in the Kent area. They have an awesome story. Is it?
No, G, it's not an awesome story. It's an awful story. There's some kids who are not going to be able to go to homecoming because they've sold out of tickets.
And I'm going to tell you how sometimes that can be awesome because there's a lot of kids that don't even go to the party anyway. They go to the after parties. We'll do that next, G and Ursula.
On this Monday morning, thank you so much for joining us on the G and Ursula Show. As always, we invite you to connect with us in real time. 888-973-5476. 888-973 Cairo is our state roofing text line. And it has been busy for all of you this morning. So we saw the story on Q13 News, and they were talking about how some Kent Ridge High School students weren't able to go to homecoming this year because the event was sold out. And Q13 is reporting that 700 tickets were available for the event, but they sold out in less than a week. And it was such a hot item, apparently, that some tickets were being scalped at the school for up to four times their face value. And as you can imagine, there were some very disappointed parents and students. And these parents who spoke to Q13 were questioning why, in a school of 2,000 students, only 700 tickets were available.
They haven't provided alternate solutions. If you need help with other volunteers for chaperones, that's something that can be solved. It hasn't been asked.
We have two gyms. I know we have a huge courtyard. I don't know why they couldn't have a plan B.
Students also weighed in.
We still have our dinner reservations. We still have our outfits. And
to make something of it, even though they couldn't go to the dance itself. But this was the first homecoming hosted by Kent Ridge High School since the beginning of the pandemic. And again, this is another one of those stories you see all over social media. Now, just in the last minute or two, I did hear from a Kent Ridge High School parent on our text line.
What did they say?
And this parent said that her son is a senior. He was responsible enough to buy his ticket when they became available a couple of weeks ago. And that the school made 700 tickets available for the event, and they based it on historically selling 300 to 400 tickets for homecoming. And it was just the demand was crazy this year compared to years past, probably because they weren't able to have homecoming in the last couple of years because of the pandemic.
Right.
Now, my initial reaction, and before finding that out, so I'm going to change a little bit, but I think it's crazy if...
You only heard from one parent. You going to change just because of that one parent?
No, I want to make sure that because I don't know necessarily if that was true. But if I am a student and my heart was set on going to homecoming, and then you can't because... you know, there aren't enough tickets. That's an event that you cannot make up.
Right.
That's a memory that you will never be able to have. And so that is unfortunate. And I understand now why maybe they had only sold 700 tickets, because the question was, well, you have a student body of 2,000 people who could potentially attend. But I know that I had to beg my kids. I had to beg my boys to go to homecoming, and all those, they just would rather do the parties afterward and not do the actual school-sponsored events. So I also understand this idea that, hey, if people haven't showed up in the past, this should be no issue. But when they see that much demand, can't you change it up a little bit and say, okay, we're going to make more tickets available?
Right. You know, so here's where I come down on this topic, and I don't have a child that is at Kent Ridge. I don't know any family members that are at Kent Ridge, and I can only go off. We only have one sample size of that text message that came in. So I've decided to go because Ursula has taught me not to make sweeping statements, but I am connected to a lot of events. As you guys know, it's what I do for my side job, okay? And I also know what it's like to maybe host a party, maybe at your house, or where there was a birthday party. Now, have you ever posted that and sent that out to your friends and said, hey, little Johnny or little Sarah is going to have their birthday party in 2 weeks. Please RSVP. Let me talk about that. You see, in the state of Washington, for some reason, everybody is always last minute.
That's true.
Okay.
It's not just in the state of Washington, though.
No, but I'm only speaking in Washington. Everybody's always last minute. Matter of fact, some people will never even RSVP. And you need to know if they're coming because you need to know how much food and stuff to have. They just show up. So you have that. Then I'm also, again, in the philanthropy world and part of these benefit auctions and charity events and all that stuff. It's always the last 2 to 3 days in which people start purchasing their tickets. But the event went on sale 2-3 months ago and nobody was purchasing anything. And my last point that I want to make, it reminds me of when we were all in school. You know, the party, the get together that you didn't get invited to, but you're upset that you didn't get the invite. And then somebody on the side says, well, wait a minute. You don't even like them. Would you have went? No, I wouldn't have went, but I still want the invite. You see, I'm saying that to say, and I'm not making a sweeping statement. I'm not saying that's the problem. But it does go hand in hand with that text message that comes in from the parent. I bet you that there are a lot of people that waited to the last minute to try to get their homecoming tickets. Why do I know this? Because it's true all over the board in other things. The little birthday party, the get together at so-and-so's house, the benefit auction. Everybody waits until the last minute. So what is the lesson? The lesson is this, and this is something that I've learned. We're now after the pandemic. People like to get out and about and go to events now. I have noticed that if the start time for the event starts at these auctions that I'm at, if it starts at 6 o'clock, yo, folks are there at 5:45 because the ability to go to events, nobody wants to do a Zoom event anymore. Nobody wants to do a Teams event anymore. They like the connection. So in the future, if there's something to buy tickets for, you might want to get those tickets early.
How dare you blame my partners in procrastination for this? Oh, the kids didn't get the tickets on time. They weren't all rushing out to get the tickets. This is what happens when you wait too long. I mean, gee, this is homecoming. It's like asking for change at the grocery store and the cashier saying, oh, I'm out of pennies. I can't give you change. I expect you to have change in your drawer. This is unprecedented. No, nobody. There's never been a crush or a clamor for people to get into homecoming. You just assume it's going to be a thing. You don't assume the ballot box is going to be full and you can't put your vote in there, right? It makes it inconvenient for you to plan events with your auctions because people procrastinate and don't respond on time doesn't mean this is the kids' fault.
But that is, you have to be able to plan. If they're going to have a venue that can only hold a certain amount of people by law, that's also another issue. So even if they traditionally get 300 to 400 and this year they got 700 or they sold 700 tickets, they were assuming, okay, there's going to be more people. They weren't expecting, you know, all 2,000 wanting to attend.
Right. And why do you believe that they had more than normal numbers?
Of course.
Because
it's a pent-up demand. Everyone, it's revenge travel or whatever, you know, all the little terms that come out right now. Everyone wants to travel. Everyone wants to go to the parties. Everyone's tired of being cooped up.
Working in the event industry, one reason people wait till the last minute is because they don't want money tied up when COVID rules could close the venue or require their guests to wear masks and thus lower the turnout.
Okay, you know what I think the real reason for people holding out on RSVPing?
What's that?
They're waiting to see if they get a better offer.
I mean, reminds me of my dating times. You know what I'm saying? Hey, G, you wanna hang out on Friday night? Ooh, wait a minute. Friday night? I can hold that Tuesday night for you, but a Friday night?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Hey, let me hit you back. So if you try to request a date, Ursula makes a good point. You try to request a date with somebody, you're like, hey, this Saturday night, would you like to go here? And they hit you with the, hey, let me check my schedule, what's going on? That right there is.
I'm waiting to see what else comes up.
Some of us are struggling just to get one thing on our dance card. Okay? That's why we're waiting.
Your text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. It's G and Ursula. It's G and Ursula. It has been a fun show. I see you peeking. You ain't speaking. Oh, sorry. That was the sun.
The sun has returned.
By the way, that used to be one of my lines.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, I see you peeking. You ain't speaking.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If I heard that at a club.
What? What you mean? That wouldn't work. You know?
Nope.
How about you said, you looked at me and I said, you too near me not to hear me. Come talk to me. Hey.
Oh, Ursula, pickup lines 100% work.
They 100%
work. It just depends on what you look like.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right? All right. Let's get to the text messages, Ursula.
Okay. So this is regarding the discussion we had about Providence Hospitals and the state attorney general suing Providence for aggressively collecting debt from charity care patients who shouldn't be paying anything. And TC says, as a Catholic in the Pacific Northwest, I'm embarrassed by this injustice as a Catholic-rooted organization, and I'm angry at Providence for doing exactly the opposite of what their mission claims. Just last week in church, all Catholics heard a reading about cheating and taking advantage of the poor, which ends, quote, the Lord has sworn, never will I forget what they have done.
G ate all the state fair scones after an awful sports weekend. 425 says, Ursula, did you tell G you hope the news was better today so he doesn't have to do all five scones? You can't do scones. They're not tequila shots. Or are they, G?
The way you were gulping them down, they were. On scenarios, I lied to my wife and told her I would do anything to make up for it. So she bought an entire house filled with furniture. Theo says, yo, G, you say that 50% of American marriages end in divorce. Do you think that it's a few people getting married four or five times who are messing up the stats and giving a bad rap to those of us sticking it out for the long term?
Hey, Theo, come on.
I think that was a shot at you.
Cut me some slack, Theo. Glenn says, when the wife and I moved into the new house, there was no furniture in the living room. We went to the store to get four bar stools. The one she wanted had been sold. Then I said, okay, get what you want. She turned around and pointed to the whole living room display and said, I'll take all of this. My jaw dropped, but the living room looks great.
On the drones shutting down the Huskies and Seahawks games, 360 says, I am shocked. Why wouldn't the Seahawks have on staff a bunch of those Eagles trained to take down drones? Okay.
I just want to say.
Yes.
Anytime there's sound, I get scared on this radio. I-90 bridge shutdown causes traffic nightmares over the weekend. Rachel C. says, Ursula, I don't think the Washington State Department of Transportation helped get a man on the moon. We need NASA and Chris for that.
Evan says, oh, your bridge got shut down for one whole weekend? We feel so sorry for you. Signed, West Seattle residents.
Evan, well done. Super Bowl halftime shows, the consensus picks were Michael Jackson, Prince, and Bruno Mars with Beyonce. Everyone agrees Maroon 5 was terrible.
Yes. And then when it comes to marriage sabbaticals, Shane in Olympia says, the sabbatical from your spouse in this case sounds like code for you are getting on my nerves or you've done something that's really hacked me off to the point that I want to get away from you for a while.
Elliot on the ship. Elliot on a ship in Texas. My husband and I have been married for 9 years, and I guess you could say we've done the marriage sabbatical thing because we often work in different states. We found 4 to 6 weeks apart can make you appreciate each other more. But going 2 months without seeing each other becomes too long. Above all, communicate with your partner. And here comes Ursula. CG, I told you. It is now time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
I need to go back to my standby. Communication and compromise.
You haven't said that in a while.
I haven't. Okay, this quote is from Voltaire. Speaking of appreciation is a wonderful thing. It makes what is excellent in others belong to all of us as well. I appreciate all of you. Look forward to doing this again tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good show today. Thank you, Brady. I was. Well, you know what? Well,
you were so deep in your thoughts.
Because it was habit. Like, usually that's the time I went to go throw, and I forgot Brady is with us today. So, Brady, thank you for being here today, sir. Appreciate you, brother.
Anytime. Always enjoy working on the show.
All right. Chef, thank you for our fights that we had today. And Ursula, it was a good show for us today.
Yes, and we'll do it again tomorrow. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next.
We'll do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be kind.